Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson of Baltimore. We're Baltimore positive. I do not have any Maryland lottery tickets in front of me today, but I will have them on Wednesday at Coco's. We'll also be on Friday at Pizza John's, and Luke's wearing the Pizza John's hat. We were up late on Thursday evening watching the Ravens do what we were expecting them to do all along, which is just win football games and sort of freight train bad teams and score four touchdowns and throw touchdown passes and have Derrick Henry take the air out of the clock at the end. Just do everything that you wanted them to do. Now, that being said, they're 3-5 and they'll have 10 days off, but lots of positives out of Thursday night. I mean, beginning with the fact that Lamar's upright, period.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you feel great when Lamar Jackson is back on the field when you haven't seen him in over a month and you go 1-2, and you were 1-3 even with Lamar Jackson. I mean, wasn't feeling great a couple weeks ago. I mean, that's stating the obvious, right? I mean, everyone's ready to fire everyone and people talking about selling at the trade deadline. And well, you win two games in 5 days and now you have extra rest. Your next four games come against teams that currently have losing records, and we see what the rest of the AFC North looks like. So it's sitting right there for them. They still have a long way to go. There are still elements of this football team that concern me. And there were even elements of this football team on display in the first half specifically. The inability to run the
Oh,
football
a better team would
consistently
have
until,
stolen that game on
yeah.
Thursday night, right?
Well,
Literally.
I mean, well, I think you just. For me, the first half was just so odd, right? I mean, the Ravens, they're basically gifted a touchdown. They needed four downs to get that touchdown. Miami moved the ball almost at will between the 20s in that first half. And the Ravens went three and out four times in that first half. I mean, it was very choppy. Dare I say, the Ravens were fortunate to be winning 14-6 at halftime. But for me, you saw the contrast in. Two win teams going in completely different directions to start that third quarter. The Ravens come out, score a touchdown, force a three and out, score a touchdown. Miami, I mean, they could have just stayed in the locker room at halftime. That was every bit of why they're 2-6, right? I saw someone, I can't remember who it is, so I don't want to take credit for this, but I saw probably late in the third quarter, a national pundit made the comment of my biggest takeaway from this game was what the heck happened to the Atlanta Falcons last Sunday. And I just had to kind of laugh because Miami completely took it to them. But we saw a Ravens team with Lamar Jackson do what they needed to do. They had the lead in the first half, despite not being an overly impressive first half. But they just completely seized control to start that third quarter, and it was all over after that. I mean, the Ravens, I saw a few people mention, they took their foot off the gas, whatever. I mean, they got the running game going, and that was good to see. I want to see the running game look way better than it's looked when it's still these game neutral situations, but Derrick Henry in the running game allowed them to protect the lead that they built on the back of Lamar Jackson throwing four touchdowns. So great win. When you're 2-5, as we said, when they were 1-5 last Sunday, get the win however you can. Who cares about optics right now? But to your point, even with some of the imperfections that continue to linger for this football team, there was a lot to like. And it begins with Lamar Jackson being back on the field. And he even said it in the post game on Amazon, on Prime, that he acknowledged it being a little bit rusty. Well, four touchdown passes, pretty darn good if you're talking about someone being rusty. It was great to see him back on the field, that's for sure.
Well, and then the tight ends getting involved too, right? Not just how it happened, and also the fact that it took them four downs, the fact that it wasn't easy, the fact that in the end it looked easy because the touchdown passes were just undefended. I mean, literally, there were just wide-ranging pastoral space, especially with Bateman at the end. Just everybody contributed. And they're going to feel good about the next 10 days after feeling really bad about the first month and a half of the season. Still doesn't fix everything at 3-5. They have to go out and take care of their business the next couple of weeks. But my takeaway from all of this over the last 5 days is there's a season now. There wasn't a season on Sunday. Sunday, we're going to have to earn and play their way back into having a season in the way that you talked about at length, where the Orioles fell 16 games under 500. It was like, all right. They need a 7-game winning streak, a 4-game winning streak, and they couldn't muster any of that. With the Ravens, they have to go to Miami on short rest and win a football game against a team that was impressive on Sunday against all. Believe me, with my fourth quarter status, I came this close to saying, what the hell were the Atlanta Falcons doing? Because I don't know what, I mean, it very much an outlier for a Dolphins team that has been horrific and look every bit the part. First half, moving the ball fine, all that, kicking field goals, missing field goals, just, but in a general sense, good enough to get themselves beat, right? Like, and maybe good enough to get my buddy Anthony Weaver hired as the head coach by the time people are even hearing this tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this 4 or 5 weeks ago when we were trying to project out, okay, when is Lamar Jackson coming back? What is the Ravens' record going to be when he comes back? What's the schedule looking like? We were saying it then, was Mike McDaniel even going to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins? And folks are listening to our conversation right now, who knows? I mean, he might not be as they're listening, but just I mean, you see why that team was 2-6, and yes, the Ravens were 2-5 going into Thursday night, but you could see a path, right? And to your point, yeah, you couldn't really, it wasn't in focus yet. It was so far out where you say, okay, if you get Lamar Jackson back, if you get Roquan Smith back, if you get Chidobe Awuzie, and go down the list of all the different Patrick Ricard, all the different guys they were missing, you could still see the path, but you have to go do it. Right. I mean, we talked about this in the aftermath of the Bears game where, okay, you won a game with Tyler Huntley as your quarterback. Great. The idea that if Lamar Jackson's going to miss 3 games, if you had told me that in August, that Lamar is going to have a 3-game injury, you know, depending on who they're playing, I'll probably begrudgingly take 1-2, right? And knowing that they played two teams that were playoff teams a year ago in 2 of those 3 games. So, you know, all things being equal with everything that they've gone through, you know, I'm not saying anyone should be doing cartwheels or that everything is perfect and they're going to be fine the rest of the way. They've got to go out and do it. They've got to stay healthy. One of the great things about Thursday night's game, in addition to the win, was it seems like they got out of it okay. Ronnie Stanley, they took him off the field for the final drive. They said that was just precautionary, just to, you know, just to get him off his feet, you know, after first time he's played a whole game
Well, I mean, Derrick
since.
Henry was out there. Lamar was getting sacked late in the game. So, I mean, it's not like they're cheating these guys like China dolls at this point, certainly not in this season. But, you know, you are taken aback when Lamar's out there with a 3-touchdown lead and getting sacked. I mean, that's always a little weird to me. But, you know, and he's everything for them, right? I mean,
Of
with them,
course.
they win. Without him, they can't win, obviously. And the brightest, the bright spot of all of it is, I'll go back to the beginning, a healthy, upright Lamar. Lamar taking off. Lamar having some cutting ability. Lamar having 10 days off now. And, you know, he mentioned his own rust, and I think that's to be expected. He hasn't run a practice out there in a month, right?
No question, no question. And I mean, you look at his final rushing totals, five carries for 14 yards, but I mean, it might have been the biggest play of the game. What was his scramble on, what was it, 3rd and 6? He scrambles for 13 yards on that first series coming out of halftime. At that point, I mean, that game could have gone either way, right? I mean, at least on paper, you know, when you looked at it on paper, when you looked at the fact that, okay, the Ravens are up 14-6 at halftime, but a couple plays here or there. I mean, that bogus call that went the Ravens' way that wiped out the long completion for Miami. I mean, that could have been a way different first half. And if the Ravens go 3 and out there right off the bat, I mean, that's their 5th 3 and out in a little over a half of football. And who knows how the Dolphins are feeling at that point in time? I mean, you know, this is a team, it's wild. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but it's crazy to think that these two teams, less than 2 calendar years ago, were meeting in week 17 in Baltimore with the number one seed on the line. And to see, and obviously Miami's fall has been dramatic because, I mean, it started last year for them. But to see them be where they are right now and the Ravens record-wise being 2-5 going into that game, I mean, it's certainly jarring. But again,
Dolphins are a little bit like the Orioles, right? On the top and hitting the bottom very, very quickly, right? I mean, McDaniel getting canned is on top of Brandon Hyde getting canned because he was the young whippersnapper 2, 3 years ago. He was what you wanted. He was what Ravens fans would have said, get rid of Harbaugh and bring us a younger guy, right? He was that guy. And certainly this last month, screaming at players, sort of this befuddled look, like they keep showing the owner up in the owner's box, the whole deal. You know, the witch, I know it's Halloween, the witches are out for him. You know, they're ready to hang him.
No question. I mean, and again, it just feels like a matter of when. It's inevitable whether he's going to make it through this week or the next couple of days or the next few, or if they just decide we're not firing our coach, we're just going to let it
Well, what'd
play
you
out.
think of Tua? Because that's really the story. Because it's the same thing. If Lamar stinks, John stinks, right? Lamar's hurt, John's hurt, right? That's kind of how, you know, Kyle Bowler stunk, Brian Billick loses his job. You know, it's kind of you're tied to that.
Yeah.
So part of that is how do you feel about Tua?
I mean, I don't think he's good enough. I mean, for now, here's the difference. It's one thing to talk about what Tua was a few years ago, and obviously there's concussion concerns with him, but he's making a lot of money,
He also had a lot
right?
of weapons
And
too, though.
he did, you know, Tyreek Hill's out for the year. Their running game, while they popped some runs against the Ravens early in this game, but overall their running game was not much of a factor. I think he needs that, right? I mean, you're seeing the difference of what Lamar Jackson is, or Josh Allen, or Patrick Mahomes, or Joe Burrow when he's healthy, right? I mean, you Jaden Daniels, you know, when he's healthy, but even Jaden Daniels is an example of someone who, you know, supporting cast hasn't been as good for him, and you see how it works. There are very few
The NFC
quarterbacks.
Championship game was a long, long time ago for them,
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
Like
you
literally.
just but
Yeah.
that's most quarterbacks in this league, though. There are so few that can really truly overcome and make up for deficiencies. I mean, we're still seeing it with the Ravens. I still don't feel great about this offensive line in a big picture sense whatsoever. I mean, and for me, it, you know, the pass protection is one thing. They can't run the ball until, you know, they ran the ball when it was 28-6.
Well, they
And
ran the ball because the Dolphins kind of quit. Let's be
right. And
honest.
up, look, I mean, the Ravens still executed, but you need to be able to do that when it's a game neutral situation. And we're continuing to see that this offensive line is just not physical enough. I think what you need to see them do more of, and I feel like they're slowly but surely transitioning into that a little more. If you've noticed these last couple of weeks, they're not leaning into Justice Hill coming on the field on second down and third down quite as much. There were plenty of second and, you know, second and eight, second and 10 where they kept Derrick Henry on the field. And it wasn't that even that Derrick Henry was running the ball in those situations, but you're trying to break tendencies, right? I think where the Ravens ran into trouble was I think they got very predictable in their personnel groupings and everything. And I think you're seeing them try to change that up a little bit. And to your point, getting the tight ends more involved. I mean, this was far and away the best game Isaiah Likely's had all year. I mean, he more than doubled his receiving yardage total for the season on that first big catch that he had.
Mark Andrews did so good that he actually spoke to the media after the game. So, I mean, you
So,
know he had a hell of a day. Two catches, two touchdowns. Big, big day. Big road trip for him, right?
Charlie Kohler with a touchdown for a second straight week, but I think they're clearly still searching for it with their offensive line. But that's the difference with Lamar Jackson out there compared to Cooper Rush. And give Tyler Huntley credit. He played very, very well. But if Tyler Huntley is playing week after week after week, that offensive line is going to be far more detrimental for him than it
And
will be for
far more
Lamar Jackson.
exposed, too.
Sure. And for Lamar Jackson, look, Lamar will have time, and we saw it early in the season, times where the offensive line playing poorly was troubling Lamar, right? I mean, we were seeing him not trusting the coverage or not trusting the protection or whatever he was seeing out there. We saw that big time late in that Detroit game,
Oh, well, just
but
getting sacked. Anytime he's getting sacked, that's the issue, right?
sure.
That as well as wide receivers and tight ends being covered, right? I mean, when he's getting sacked out
Sure.
of effort, that's got to be on the offensive line. I mean, that's just not good enough.
Yeah, it is, but there's also times where Lamar's got to get rid of the ball more quickly. I mean, one thing that I talked about, you know, coming out of the Chicago game was some of the quick game elements that they used as far as Tyler Huntley getting the ball out quickly and throwing, and you know, two steps and boom, it's out, or shotgun in 2 seconds, it's out. Is I wanted to see them do that a little more with Lamar Jackson because I think, you know, this is not an offensive line that, if they're going to be in true pass sets, you know, third and long, second and long, this is not the kind of offensive line that's going to hold up well. I mean, even good offensive lines don't do great when it's third and long. But when you're talking about a shaky offensive line, you've got to stay out of those situations. So the offensive line remains a work in progress, big time. But you
It'll
won,
get them beaten against bad
and
teams, against good teams. I'm
I
excuse
was going
me.
to say,
Against good teams, it's
yeah,
going to get them beaten.
the difference is right now with the schedule that they have, and believe me, this sounds like I'm damning them with praise. It's not, but take advantage of the fact that you have the schedule that is in front of you right now to stack some wins, to get back to 500, and hopefully along the way, you discover some more answers, right? You find some more consistency.
Alohi
As I
Gilman
say,
would be a great example of that, right? For
well, I was talking about the offense, but
yeah, but
sure.
just something that is a marked improvement in personnel. And Lamar was case one on Thursday
Yeah, I
night.
mean, right, of
There's
course. I
your
mean, it,
upgrade, but I don't know
yeah.
where these upgrades are coming from, I guess is
Yeah.
what I'm saying,
Well,
right?
and I think a lot of it just has to do with, what personnel groupings are you running? What formations are you running? I think I would very much like to see them try to run out of more spread formations, whether you're talking three wide receivers, four wide receivers. And that sounds counterintuitive, but I just think they're so accustomed to running heavy, right? When you have Ricard out there, when you're running 12 personnel and you have two tight ends out there, and it's just not working for them right now because their offensive line's not physical enough. So it ends up just being so much traffic at the line of scrimmage, so many bodies that it's really making it for a struggle for Derrick Henry to get going. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't get back to that, but I'd like to see them spread things out a little more. And you can still run the ball. And when you spread out a defense, they can't have eight in the box if you have four wide, but you can still run in those
I
situations.
don't think they
And I
use
think
the
Lamar.
RPO nearly as well as they've used it in previous years. I don't think they've really maneuvered that with Derrick Henry, where you have linebackers and safeties coming up and
Yeah.
defensive linemen who aren't overwhelmed maybe the way they used to be when Marshall Yanda was around here. But the decision making of who's got the ball and which direction are my hips going to go in. And there was something about Lamar, especially Lamar's running ability, that you say five carries, 14 yards, one was for 13 yards. He's getting sacked. He's getting older, and I think we talk about that all the time too, from an injury standpoint. But that thing where Lamar is going to run 8 to 10 times a game and might put up a 60, a 70, 80 yards a week, might put up a 32-yard scamper when they need it
Yeah.
at a point, that feels gone to me for now. For now, I mean, I haven't seen it enough this year to feel confident in it, but that confusion of is Derrick Henry going that way, or is Lamar
Right.
going that way, or is Lamar going to eat the ball and throw it over our heads? Right? I mean, because
Right.
you could always fake the handoff too. That's called play action. They rarely do that. So there's a lot of things that I think that they could do creatively, but all of it involves Lamar being upright, and all of it involves Derrick
Sure.
Henry being upright. And I'm already giving you the fact that I don't think the offensive line's going to be very good. So what are some other things you can do? Trick them. And they have the ability to do that because they have this quarterback that you, if you just ran him out once a quarter in an RPO, they'd have to stay honest on that. Now they're practicing it all the time, but in principle, other than the run you saw with Jackson early in the second half,
And that was a scramble. Yeah, I mean, that
yeah, it
was a
wasn't
scramble.
designed,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
Yeah, and look, they weren't going to run a lot of design runs in his first game back, nor should they have, right? I mean, they didn't need to. They won the game by three touchdowns without Lamar
100%.
doing that. But that's obviously, look, it's been part of what they've done every year of his career. Now, is it going to be where he's running, doing that 18 times a game? I doubt it. But if it comes down to a game you absolutely have to win, and he's healthy and he has the ability to do it, then he needs to do it, right? I mean,
Their
if
best
it's
chance to win in
me.
Kansas City or Buffalo in January, if they get there, is a 9-8 or 10-7 team. And I know they're 51% or whatever the numbers are at this point. Go bet on it if you want. But
Yeah.
when they get there, that's when that stuff has to happen. That's
Sure.
what they've lost to these teams, all of them, quite frankly. The Lions, if they get to the Super Bowl, the Rams, like they, in order to stack games and stack wins, Lamar's got to be effective as a runner for me. And that sounds very crazy from where I was 8 years ago, where I didn't want him running. But I don't think they can beat good teams. They're like the Tennessee Titans with Derrick Henry if they're not using him in that way. And he throws the ball better than any of the Titans quarterbacks did. But I'm just saying the optimal use of him, and when this thing was really going good at points last year, was he's not just a threat and something you practice to run the ball. He embarrasses you once or twice, and then it's in your head the whole game.
Yeah, of course. And again, I fully expect that to be there as you know, now he's going to have 10 days to, you know, see how the hamstring's feeling, you know, that you know, I'm sure he'll be a little bit sore just in a general sense because it's his first time playing in a real game in over a month, first time he's been hit in over a month. But yeah, I mean that's going to be a part of it, but like I said, I think they do need to change things up a little bit in terms of they've been so accustomed to the heavy personnel. And it's worked so well. I mean, going back to Lamar's rookie year, and obviously it didn't look the same year after year after year, but it was still those same principles. But I really think for this team to get their running game going when it's a, what, like in the first half, right? When it's a still a game, not when they're just protecting a lead like they were, I think they need to lean into more wide receivers on the field, force a defense to spread out. Defense can't stack the box if you're in. You know, a four wide receiver set. And I think that that could be something that could be part of the equation. But I mean, through four touchdowns, right? And like I said, their offense came alive in that third quarter the way that it needed to. And, you know, some quick passes, you know, obviously likely, you know, with some big catches, they get the big chunk play to Zay Flowers. You know, so I mean, that was. It's great to see. I mean, there were plenty of positives. I just think, you know, when we're looking at this team at 3-5, you feel so much better. But yeah, they still have some things that they're going to have to get better with as they get deeper into the season. And knowing that, you know, the goal is still not just to qualify for the playoffs and then say, good job, guys, right? I mean, this team still, in a big picture sense, still has far bigger visions and goals for themselves, even after a 1-5 start. But
Well, winning the division sitting there, dude.
yeah,
You know, that's,
exactly.
but they have to go earn it. They're going to have to go beat Joe
Yeah, no
Flacco twice.
question.
They're going to have to beat
Well,
Aaron Rodgers. They're going to have to do all that.
you need to go win two road games here still, right? I mean, you have three straight road games. I've said to you, and I know you've talked about it a lot as far as your confidence that they need to be 7-7, you know, that they'll be 7-7. I will challenge and continue to say they need to be better than 7-7. If they're 7-7, I'm not loving their situation because that means they've dropped a couple games that felt far more winnable along the that way. So, but it starts with these next four games, right? I mean, at Minnesota, at Cleveland, home against the Jets, home against the Bengals, right? And no disrespect to the Bengals, I get it. It's an AFC North team, but they're playing at home, and the Bengals are going to be on a short week, right? And the Bengals can't stop anybody. Anything. Look, I'm not saying that this isn't a prediction, but I would say anything less than, you know. I would say 3-1 is the bare minimum there that you want to see, but I think you'd really like to see them have a chance to win all four of those games. And if you're doing that, then boy, man, Thanksgiving's feeling great. You know what your record could be then, but they've got to be consistent, right? And they need to stay healthy and they need to, you know, one thing that was really good about Thursday night's game, and you saw the contrast, the number of times that the Dolphins shot themselves in the foot in that first half. I mean, as we said, I mean, from a yardage standpoint, from a their offense moved the ball more consistently than the Ravens did in that first half, except when they got into the red zone and the Ravens defense. And, you know, this is where we can give the Ravens defense some love here, where, you know, they did a lot of bending, especially in the first half, but they came up with plays. I mean, Alohi Gilman gets the forced fumble and they got some stops inside the red zone. Obviously, Miami with some backbreaking penalties and things of that nature. But we have very clearly seen now we have a 3-week sample of this defense, even going back to the Rams game, right? Which the defense was better in that game, even in defeat. This shift to the three safety alignments using so much big nickel, Hamilton playing the nickel, lining up at the edge, playing in the box. We have seen that raise the floor of this defense immensely.
As predicted, by the way. That's why they
No.
made the deal, right?
I mean, I was
That
talking
was
about
their
the,
prescription for
well,
fixing this, right?
I was talking about needing a third safety from the moment Ardarius Washington went down. So, but I was
Well, good.
glad to
Let's
see
take a
them
break. We'll
get it.
come back. We'll talk defense.
Sure.
Luke is here.
Yeah.
He's Baltimore Luke. Of course, Luke at WNST.net if you want to reach him. We're out on social media. He is Baltimore Luke. We have a long week. I'm going to be doing two Maryland Crab Cake tours next week, brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at GBMC and Curio Wellness. We're going to be at Coco's on Wednesday afternoon, all afternoon long. Looking forward to seeing Marcel. Looking forward to getting some coconut shrimp, even though I snuck some 2 weeks ago, as well as some of that delicious cream of crab soup. Friday, we're going to be at Pizza John's in Essex. Got some good guests lined up for that as well. And that means crinkle cut fries and proper gravy for me and a cheesesteak with double provolone because I'm all about it. So victory cheesesteaks for everybody this week. Ravens off for a couple days and then back on it next week. And then after it for Minnesota, two more road games ahead. And now 3-5. And the favorite to win the AFC North. He is Luke. I'm Nestor. We're WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Plenty more Ravens to come in a long week, but a short week, but two wins. We'll take it.